Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, you're about to hear our brand new podcast, My Crazy Family. And if you like it, I need your help. To let other folks know that this show exists, we need reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you got about 10, 15 free seconds, please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a quick review, and I'll make it worth your while. Send me a screenshot of that review, and I'll enter you into a contest to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So leave the review on Apple Podcasts, send me the screenshot to contest@crazyfampod.com. That's contest@crazyfampod.com. And later in the year, we'll randomly pick someone for that $500 Amazon gift card. So please leave that review at Apple Podcasts, then send me the screenshot. contest@crazyfampod.com. And thanks. You know, there's something to be said about strict parenting when it's done correctly until it goes a little bit off the rails.
You know, and your parents are supposed to be people that you look to trust, but when it goes south, that's a whole other story.
We got a big story about that today on My Crazy Family.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the show. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. In fact, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, you may have heard we're doing a little contest right now where leave the review, send me a screenshot of it, just to email that to contest@crazyfampod.com. And you, my friend, will be entered to win a $500 Amazon gift card. We'll be giving that away later in the year. So take the screenshot, email it to me, the review on Apple Podcast, contest@crazyfampod.com, and you may end up getting hooked up with that gift card. We'll pick one winner towards the end of the year. So there you go.
Beautiful.
Yes, yes. Holidays coming up would be a good way to fill the tree.
How much?
500. Yeah.
So that could get you a whole lot of presents.
Especially if you shop at the dollar store. That would be, oh my God.
That would work.
That would be amazing. Years ago, when Harper was little, and you know, winter is kind of that time where in January, February, it's kind of like, it's those months that are just, they go slow and it's dark and it's just, it's not the best for, you know, emotional health if you're affected by seasonal depression or anything like that. So to kind of break up that and getting into spring, we would do what we called Christmas 2.0. And it was really fun. We would go to the dollar store. And I gave everybody like $20 or something. And it was, okay, you have to get gifts for everybody here in the circle. You got $20 to do it. And they're all dollar gifts. And then we'd wrap them all. And then we'd have like an afternoon. And we'd spend it like Christmas. We'd have like a tree. And then we'd unwrap these dollar store gifts and have snacks and like watch a Christmas movie. And it was really fun. And it really kind of showed you it wasn't about the quality of the gift or about the gift really in general. It was more so just having that moment, that time together, having some fun. Yeah, you're opening up gifts. But it was kind of creating just a fun little break in the season. And then, you know, the kids got candy and they liked that because that's a lot of what you'd get at the dollar store. I'd usually get a couple cans of nacho cheese, which I thoroughly enjoyed. You know, the nacho cheese that's really not cheese. It's some sort of foreign substance that probably could also run a lawnmower, but it's delicious. And so it was fun. It was just one of those kind of creative things to do. Christmas 2.0.
What a really unique idea that it isn't about the gifts. It's about just having some fun, hanging out. It takes the pressure off because, you know, the dollar store has got some definitely unique things, but mm-hmm. you're not going to be finding this extraordinary gift. It's just all about the fun.
Every once in a while, you'd find something and be like, you got that at the dollar store? Really? Wow. But it was just kind of, it wasn't necessarily gag gifts, but it was just kind of fun little stuff. And if you're a kid, open anything, it's a wonderful moment.
Oh, yeah.
So it was fun. It was a good little break up the season thing. I enjoyed Christmas 2.0 many years more than I enjoyed the actual Christmas.
I was going to say that sounds a little bit more fun than the real thing, to be honest with you.
It really was. There was like less extended family around. It was just more laid back and it was more enjoyable, I guess. So I don't know how
It's the fun Christmas. You don't have the drunk uncle coming and being all weird and the family member that falls asleep and farts in their sleep. And, you know, you don't have to give up your bed. This is the holiday that you wanted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I should bring that holiday back because it was kind of fun. So anyway, we got lots of craziness today on today's episode of My Crazy Family. And if you have a crazy family story, we'd love to hear it. Go to crazyfampod.com and share it with us. Or you can also call in and share your crazy family story with it. Do you have the phone number there, Stacey?
Yes, I do. It is 1-833-272-9326 or 1-833-CRAY-FAM.
So there you go. 833-CRAY-FAM. And share those stories. We'd love to hear them here on the program. What do we got for our first one today?
Well, I want to preface this by saying, if sexual abuse triggers you in any way, feel free to fast forward a little bit. Mm-hmm. We still have some great stories coming up, but this could be a little bit triggering. It doesn't sound like this person is horribly affected by this, but you know, we never know who is in our audience that might be triggered by something like this. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Like they're using humor to deal with it?
It seems like it. Yeah. Okay. It seems like either maybe they haven't dove into the issue very much, or they just, this is what happened to me and I'm moving on with my life.
Sure. Okay.
So it goes like this. I'm adopted. It's not a secret. And my father, he and my mom adopted me at birth. My father sexually abused me from the age of 4. I'm guessing this is some of my earliest memories until I was about 11. It only stopped because I told a friend on the playground one day at school, and she told her parents who called the cops. He confessed, and the judge gave him a very strange sentence. It was however many years, I honestly don't know the number, and I've never looked it up, but within the first 180 days, I think, the judge could say he was able to get out of prison and go on to probation with time served. This happened on the last day it could, and I remember my mom being very happy and excited about it. He was on probation for several years, meaning he rented a camper nearby, but he would come home for dinner every night. So in my eyes, nothing really changed. He'd come home like he always did, and he worked until I went to bed. Then I think it was my freshman year of high school, maybe, he actually moved back in. I remember visiting him in prison a few times, which was weird. My mom also said that my dad's employer kept paying my mom his paycheck during the whole thing. I never saw anything in the papers about it. My mom hid them from me and I never looked anything up. Life was tough enough. This all happened 24 years ago in a Midwest town, but I'm still confused about his sentence. How can a judge just say, okay, you're done now? Seriously, it was all very fucked up as my mom didn't know how to live without my dad. So she did everything she could to get things back to the way they were. My thoughts and feelings weren't really considered. While the family knows about this, it's not something we talk about openly with other people. I do have a relationship with them now, but it's on my terms. I call them once every 3 to 6 months, and I see them 1 to 2 times a year. That's enough time around them. They aren't awful people to be around, but I definitely didn't get remorse from them for their actions while I was actively dealing with everything. So that made me decide to not have them be a large part of my life. And that's where the email ends.
I do not understand, number one, how the spouse continues to be with the spouse after something like this surfaces. And it's, you know, it's verified and you have your own child that's saying it and he's sentenced and it's admitted to. Why? Who, what on earth is good enough in that person to stay with other than your own fear of change and being alone, to be with someone who fucking molested your own kid.
Do you think it has to do with money? That maybe she just, mom didn't have the resources to move out. The person writing this doesn't say, look here, it doesn't really say male or female, but I'm assuming female. I'm assuming that they just didn't have the money to be on their own. And since this person mentioned that my mom also said that my dad's employer kept paying my mom his paycheck during the whole thing, that maybe money was an issue.
Yes, you're probably right. And somebody's looking at that going, well, I'm going to be homeless or this or that. But the thing is, there are resources out there. There are ways of, it's not going to be fun. It's going to fuck up your life for a little bit. But I think it's less of a fuck up of your life than staying with someone who's able to fucking molest your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, and I wonder if maybe the person wasn't really aware of the sentencing and how long the time period was. I'm hoping that it wasn't just 180 days. That's 6 months.
Yeah.
That's not enough time for molesting a child.
I mean, she said, you know, it was quite a ways back. So what we're talking, the 90s, the 80s or something, when this would have
occurred. Yeah, 24 years ago.
So
2000.
2000. Wow. I'm thinking the 80s now. It's 2000-ish.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
No, I mean, at that point in time, there would have been, I would think, far stricter sentencing. We're not talking like 70s, 80s. We're talking, you know, 2000-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, when you have situations like this, I there's so many things that end up baffling you. The behavior of the family, and then sometimes then the court system itself and how it handles these sort of things.
I would hope that sentencing and punishment would be much greater than 6 months, because I've known people who have done 1 to 2 years for drug possession, and they didn't hurt anybody. They just got caught with too much pot.
Sure.
And I'm sorry, you can't compare getting caught with too much pot and molesting a child.
Oh, no, not at all.
Not the same.
No, but somehow our court system doesn't really have a very good grasp on weighing the crimes and what sort of a sentence should be associated with such crimes. So that's where we end up with shit like that. The further you can be away from these people, the better, in my opinion, quite honestly.
Yeah.
There's, I don't know. I don't see any good. I just don't see any good when the family stands behind the abuser. At that point, to me, it's just like, I'm very much all in or all out. That's me, though. Some people have a much better way of kind of compartmentalizing things and just kind of take, well, they're, you know, they fucked up there, but I'm going to take the good over here. I'm sorry. There's certain things where it's like, if you've done that bad of shit, you're out. I don't care what good you have in you. It's all negated to nothing for things of that nature.
You do not get a second chance.
Yeah.
Or you don't get the, well, it's your cousin.
No, it's done. It's you're just sorry. You're out. You played a card that was a bridge too far for most people, and there's no coming back from it. So
yeah, I worked with somebody that she told me that her brother molested her, and the family really didn't do anything about it. They know about it, and they just kind of went, okay. Oh my God.
It's a big thing to take on if a sort of allegation like that comes out. You do have to.
Yeah, it destroys the family, but it's what it does to the victim is horrific. Their life has changed forever.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm sorry, you know, it's stressful, absolutely, but you need to kind of step forward and say, this is not going to happen in my home. You get the fuck out. And go away.
It's a situation that I think a lot of family members get thrown into without, you know, it's like, oh my God, out of nowhere, just a total left turn. And you don't ever want to have to deal with something like that. And I think a lot of people end up saying, it'll be easier if we just pretend it didn't happen or kind of brush it off to the side and continue on with life than actually addressing what happened.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Because sometimes life can, you know, for those who were not molested, life can go on fairly flawlessly if they're not the ones that are the victims and the other person is continuing up the facade that everyone else thought they were, which a lot of times those people do. And people will just continue to do the facade rather than reality because it's easier. And ultimately, it doesn't affect them directly. Meanwhile, the victim's over here and trying to put together life and figure it out. And they can't continue the facade. And they're that, then they end up being the one that ends up being victimized again by the family that they thought they could love and trust that just doesn't have the guts, you know, to take on reality and say there's something fucked up here and let's fix it. It's a lot of life. It's a lot of, we were like talking about the other day in another show about like police departments and shit, where it's like, it's a lot of good here, but you got to admit when there's bad and get rid of that. And then you can maintain your family dynamic, but you got to get rid of the bad when it's there. You can't keep pretending it's not happening.
Well, it's like, you know, putting a bad egg into a cake mix. The cake mix is great, but as soon as that bad egg is in there, the whole thing is ruined. So you got to start over.
I have a bad egg story, like literally egg story of the actual egg itself. So the other day was getting some eggs because I have chickens out in the back here. And I'm not the greatest at going out there and getting the eggs when they're, you know, like every single day. So it's like usually like once a week, go out, kind of gather them up. This is when it was super hot this summer. So it was like 110 degrees out. Go and get the eggs. And I didn't know eggs could do this, but I soon found out. And I'm telling you this as a cautionary tale. When eggs are super hot, you don't want to crack them. And nor should you eat them either, because they've gone way beyond the heat. You got to get them when they're like fresh and in a good temperature. So we're out of eggs in the house. We're in the house baking something and we needed eggs. So, hey, Harp, go get some eggs. She got some eggs. Brings them into the house. And I crack them over the sink and put them into something because you don't want to crack an egg directly into what you're making in case it's bad. You do it in a bowl on the side first and then you pour it in if it's good.
Right, right.
So crack it in the sink. It literally explodes like a grenade, like boom. And it sounded like just a big, sound like a firecracker went off. And black egg goes everywhere. And black egg smells like death.
Oh, God.
And so there's there's this gelatinous, you know, egg-y substance that looks like death, like just black slime that is all over me, is on the dog that's standing next to me. It's on the sink. It's on the window. It's on the backsplash. Anything nearby within, you know, like a 10-foot radius, there's some of this shit on it. And even the smallest drop of it smells like death. So had to get that cleaned up. It smelled for a week at least, even though I got everything cleaned up, bleached everything. It's like, you still find a little piece over here. Oh, look, it's on the plant over here. Like, where is that smell coming from? And I swear I had to wash the dog like 3 times to fully get it out. So should you have chickens and it's hot out in the summertime, be careful of those eggs because they're dangerous.
Oh my goodness. I had no idea that they could be weaponized.
Me either. But if you really want to piss off your neighbors, get some of those and chuck them onto their property. Oh my God. Yeah, it's just an egg.
Interesting.
Just an egg. But yeah, the incredible edible egg can be quite a deterrent, I think.
Good grief. Speaking of weaponizing, this brings us to our next story. My great-grandfather was a German soldier during World War II. Oh, I'm sorry, World War I. He was captured and shipped to upstate South Carolina and held as a prisoner of war. After the war, he was released and told he could return to Germany or stay in the United States. He stayed. He told people he was from Poland because of anti-German sentiment. My great-grandmother, the daughter of the soldier, had an affair with the neighbor, we'll call her A, resulting in the birth of my great-aunt J. Well, no one figured it out until later, well after the death of great-grandpa, when A came around for Christmas and brought the kids, all of whom were tall, big boned, and redheaded, just like Great Aunt J.
Oh, whoops. Wow.
That was before 23andMe.
Mm-hmm.
That was when you basically would just look at somebody and go, I see a family resemblance there.
Yeah.
Good grief. The story goes on. My grandma, of the same line as Papa Great Grandma, the adulteress, ran illegal immigrants across the U.S.-Mexican border with the help of her boyfriend. Additionally, at the time of her death, she was under investigation by the FBI for truly an unreal amount of credit card fraud. Apparently, while she worked for the United States Postal Service, she was stealing credit cards from people's mail and running them up.
Oh, my God, Grandma.
Good Lord, Grandma.
Yeah.
My mom, the daughter of this grandmother, stole a car at 15 and ran away to New York City, where she met my dad and lied to him about her age. He didn't find out she was 15, not 22, as she told him, until she was 4 months pregnant with my older brother and brought dad home to meet the family. She was also involved in prostitution and drug running when my brother and I were little. After she and dad split up, she shacked up with a new guy. This guy was a real charmer, a pedophile, an alcoholic. She stayed with him 3 years after she found out he liked to come into my room at night and stepped into grandma's shoes running illegal immigrants. These days, she's a respectable nurse with a drinking problem who routinely lifts narcotics and other controlled substances from works because they help her to sleep. As for me, I've never been in trouble with the law. I'm bisexual and I am the shame of this fucking family. Good Lord.
Wow. They're the shame of the family.
Yeah, because they're bisexual. Not, you know, has nothing to do with, you know, everybody else being criminals and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that just tells you a little bit about that family dynamic for sure.
My God. Well,
you know, you never think of grandma as being a horrible criminal, do you?
No, no, you don't. But you also but you also don't think of grandma as being like young and vivacious and attractive and all of that either, because in our minds we have this, I don't know, I always had this image. My grandma was old, you know, she looked old, she acted old. And today it's like a whole different world, you know, on how all this plays out. And even like when my grandma was like in her like 50s or something, she still looked old. She looked like grandma, but that's not how it is today. I mean, it's odd to me as I'm getting older and I'm in my 40s now. You know, there's people around my age that have grandchildren.
Oh, you know,
or they're getting, you know, pretty damn close to having that happen, you know, because they got kids that are in college and I'm entering that area of life where you're going to start seeing that. And it's just it's a mind fuck. You look at it and I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll probably happen like within the next 5 to 10 years. Not with my daughter, but my girlfriend has an older daughter that's going to be graduating here in just a few years. And you know, 5 to 10 years down the road, the likelihood is there that someone's probably going to have a kid at some point, you know, hopefully closer to the 10 mark. But it's just weird because then you look at, you know, who would be grandma? And it's like, she's young. She's hot. She doesn't, it's not what grandma would look like or what you think of like that. And
and grandmas are so different now. And that's what you're getting at. You know, if you take, I'm going to look this up, Jennifer Lopez, not that she's a grandmother, she's not, but what is she? 50. Hang on a second. How old is she?
She could be a grandma.
She's 53.
Easily be a grandma. There's a lot of 53-year-old grandmas. That's
absolutely
totally normal.
But her at 53 is so different. Weren't the Golden Girls like in their 50s?
Yeah, you look back on it, and actually Estelle Getty was the youngest of all of them.
Yeah, so, you know, times have changed. Grandmas don't look like your traditional grandma with, you know, the polyester pants and the Dr. Scholl's, you know, shoes.
No.
They're a lot different. I mean, 70 is really the new 50. I mean, some of these 70-year-olds out there, you have no idea that they're 70. They look like they're 55.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're just rocking it.
Yeah. It's great because I think people are healthier and they're able to enjoy life more and they're not just being put out to pasture, you know, at a certain age, like, oh, you're old. But we have a weird thing in our country too, where we don't, every other culture in the world respects older people and their elders, and they look at it as a sign of wisdom and a sign of experience in life and things of that nature. In the U.S., it's very much you're old, you're dumb, you're slow. They don't look at older as wiser. So I don't know if we're chasing youth just so we don't get dismissed. But it's a fucked up thing that we're not going to be able to adjust or change. But I think that probably plays somewhat of a role in it. At least it would be for me as I get older. Of like, yeah, I guess if you want to be taken a little more seriously, you got to look a little. I don't know. It's fucked up, but it's how society here views things.
Yeah, I'm not going there. I mean, I still wear glitter eyeshadow. I don't care if it's age appropriate. It's what I want to do, and I'm hoping someone in my family will pull me aside and go, maybe you should stop doing that. But so far, nobody has said anything, and I'm hoping that I have that person in my life that will just pull me aside and go, okay, you need to tamp it down a little bit,
And you're still running the prostitution ring. So, it's good.
As most grandmothers do. Absolutely.
Exactly. If you got the ring going and you got everything else going, you might as well.
Our next story. I am 17 and I've been living with strict parents my entire life. I'm in my senior year of high school. And I recently have realized how toxic my parents, especially my dad, have been. My dad is the biggest liar I have ever seen. And it's gotten to the point where he's manipulating me. He only lies for two reasons, either to get what he wants or to scare me to get what he wants. For example, I have a lot of trauma surrounding my parents fighting, mainly because of my childhood. One time I recall I was in my room and I had my AirPods in, so I hadn't heard my mom calling me downstairs for dinner. My dad came up 2 minutes after my mom had presumably called me and asked me what the fuck I was doing. I told him what I was doing and then asked him what's going on. He then proceeded to tell me that mom and him had had a fight because of me and that I need to come down as soon as possible because mom was apparently pissed as shit at me and the fight was all my fault. Obviously, I was very scared. And just in general, I raced down the stairs with shaky legs on the verge of a panic attack to find that my mom and dad were perfectly fine and my mom was not mad at me at all. Another incident of this happening was literally just then. Currently, it's exam block for me at school, and I've been sick past few days, so I haven't been able to study as much. I have ADHD as well, so it's pretty hard for me to study recently when my body's been completely shut down due to illness. I was literally just on the phone on my couch when my dad suddenly screamed my name and started yelling at me. He said apparently I was trying to start a fight with him by not studying, and mom was going to send me back to grade 12 if I don't get the grades that dad wants. I know for a fact that my mom would never say anything like this because she's adamant about me graduating at the end of this year. So not only did he put the blame on my mom, but he lied to me about what was said. These are just a few examples of my dad lying to get me to do what he wants and realizing that your dad lies to you so effortlessly and sometimes several times a day can really mess with your trust. Dad is a fucking asshole. I'm just going to go out on a limb there.
Yeah. If you're lying to manipulate someone to get what you need them to do, even if it's your kid, that's fucked up. I mean, it's one thing if they're a little kid and you got to we'll get you a treat or you bribe them a little bit or something like that. That's one thing. When you're doing shit like this, yeah, this is the lasting shit that you're going to be talking about in therapy for many, many years to come, because it violates a trust and a bond that sounds like was kind of built there, like it existed for a while, and then it was completely abused and taken advantage of. And that'll fuck with your mind with someone that should have been, a figure or one of the only figures in your life that you're ever going to have in that position to take such a bizarre fucking turn to it.
The other thing that really got my attention here, my dad was completely messed up, and I keep saying someday I'll share some things. I'm going to sit down and actually write out an email that like somebody would send in to us. Mm-hmm. My dad was a horrible narcissist. He was manipulative. He was a liar, but he loved to get that fight or flight response from people. He mm-hmm. loved it. And to me, this email sounds exactly like that. This dad just loves to watch this kid jump.
Yeah. It's a control thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolute control. You know, that maybe you don't have control anywhere else in your life. So you can control your kids for now. And my dad was very similar to that. It wasn't until one of my brothers actually, I believe he punched him. I'm trying to remember some of it I blocked out, but I remember an actual physical fight where one of my brothers just wound up and smacked my dad right in the face. And that was the end of dad thinking that he could trigger the kids.
Yeah.
And it was the end of the control series. And it just, you know, I think not that you need to go violent. I don't ever advocate for that. But I think at some point, standing up for yourself is going to be really important, and getting yourself some control back, because yeah. right now it sounds like there is no control other than dad.
Sometimes it's the only thing that people like this understand, and it's the yeah. only way that you can communicate with them. And I'm never advocating for violence. I've never punched or hit anybody in my life. But, you know, I give it credit to your brother for doing that, you know, because yeah. you... They're very narrow-minded people when they're acting like this. They very much operate on fight or flight, and fight can mean a lot of things. It can mean manipulation. It can mean, you know, coercing someone to do this or that, or just making their lives hell and manipulating them 50 different ways. Or they just disappear and they run away when they realize that they can't manipulate people anymore.
Yeah.
And if someone is the only, and you can reason, you can talk, you can try and do everything peaceful to get that narcissist to see the error in their ways and how you do love them and you want to have them in your life, but they will never see it. And all that talking and all that pouring out your heart and thinking about it and praying about it and this or that, it will never fucking work. And sometimes
and a narcissist like this, somebody who likes to manipulate others and create fear in other human beings, the amount of therapy that they would need to go through to correct their behavior, to acknowledge uh-huh. their behavior, most people don't end up doing it. So I think the 17-year-old, you know, and we're not therapists, we're just sitting here reading these.
Yeah.
But this 17-year-old needs to graduate high school and figure out the rest of their life and start living it, whether it's to go to college, to get a good job, to go to a trade school. But you need to step up and get on with your life mm-hmm. and leave these people behind you. And that's going to be the most therapeutic thing you can do. And it sounds impossible, but if the more you can distance yourself from this horrible trauma mm-hmm. that you are just repeatedly going through, the better you are going to be and the better you are going to feel, and you're going to sleep better. You're going to be able to reclaim your personhood.
Yeah. Cause here's the path that it goes with narcissists like this. There's one of two ways that it can go. You can stay there and you can try and think, oh, things are getting better. They're acting a little bit better. And maybe they will for a little bit. But once they realize that, you know, their game and their playbook, and they can't win over you anymore and they can't control you anymore, all those months or years, sometimes even just days, of thinking that you have this sort of trust and this relationship is getting better is all for shit. Because what happens with that person is they will then run away. They will disappear. They will not be part of your life because they don't want you in their life if they can't control it and they can't do what they've always done. So what will happen is you'll think it's getting better. They'll run away. Or you can make the choice yourself and say, fuck it, I'm not going to let you do this anymore to me, and just get the fuck out of there and have your boundaries and you be in control. And you may be surprised to find that they're not so interested in really having anything to do with you anymore, because that's how they fucking operate.
Yeah,
it's like they all go to the same fucking summer camp or something, and when they're young and they learn how to do this to people. It's what it seems like, because they all operate from the same fucking playbook. And and they're all utterly, seemingly oblivious to their actions as they execute them, while the rest of the world sees it and goes, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Isn't it? It's just, I can't believe that there's people out there that would intentionally harm their children. And, you know, in our other podcasts, we talk about this all the time. And I come from a background where my father was mentally abusive to me. He was physically and mentally abusive to my brothers. So it's not that unusual. But I'm still in awe that this fucking happens out there. It just shocks me. I feel so protective of my animals. I chose not to have kids because of my father, and the cycle of abuse that I saw in my family with my aunts and uncles and other family members, I decided I was not having kids because I wanted it to stop. And it stopped with me. But I have animals and I am so protective of them. I don't want anybody to harm them. I would never harm them. And if I ever step on my cat's tail or something, I will spend the next 20 minutes apologizing to the cat. The cat's already forgotten about it, but I'm traumatized that I would inflict any harm on a creature that I love. So for me to see this and hear this, just, I can't believe that you could do that.
And it's without regard. And they're missing something. That's the only way I can wrap my mind around it, because I deal with this in my world. Not that I'm this person by any means, but there's someone that is in my circle that acts like this, and it drives me fucking nuts. But there's I can't fathom how they reason their thoughts out and justify them, other than going, they're missing something. Something is not clicking here, and they're not perceiving what the consequences to their actions are going to be. And if they are, that makes them far more scarier. I just have to say, you know, for my own peace of mind, like, they're not aware of what they're doing. It's not an excuse, but it kind of helps you understand there's something that's not clicking there. For the rest of us, we'd be like, how on earth? There's no way in hell I could do this or that.
I would hope not, because that's absolutely sadistic. If you know what you're doing is horrifically wrong and you continue to do it, that's a whole other level. That's a different podcast.
I mean, it's I don't know if it's like comes down to like some sort of weird survival instinct, and it's, you need to control this or that. And there's no bounds to who you're trying to control. It doesn't matter if it's your kid or your spouse or anybody. It's all about them. It's what narcissism is. It's about them. And that's 100% how they operate. And there's no really breaking that. There's not a lot of recovering narcissists out there. We all have narcissistic tendencies, but when you actually have the full blown fucking disorder, there ain't a lot in that group saying I'm recovering from this, because they'll never get there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's this. The 17-year-old needs to start life and get some counseling and therapy, whatever form you take it in, I think is going to be the most important feature of your adulthood, is to figure out how to deal with what happened to you and how to not let it happen to you in future relationships as well. Because people like this tend to get toward people who act this way because it's comfortable to them. Yeah. So they may end up with a spouse that is also abusive and manipulative. And so the most important thing you can do is figure out how to recognize it in other people and how to fend, you know, fight those people and fend for yourself.
When all you know is crazy, and I know people don't like that word, like, oh, crazy's offensive now. Fuck it. I'm calling it crazy. You know, and there's diagnosable terms, but there's 500 of them. When you grew up around crazy and all you know is crazy, crazy's comfortable.
It's very comfortable. Absolutely.
And crazy will end up being a lifestyle unless you go, I can find comfort somewhere else. But you got to make that choice and get out of that and have that realization. But I think some people are so indoctrinated into crazy at a young age that they don't know anything different does feel like a threat. It feels bizarre because it's not in their wheelhouse. And once you kind of developed and grown, you kind of got your blueprint. And to say, well, let's go back and change that blueprint, it's a difficult task, if not almost impossible with some people. I never say anything's completely impossible, but it takes a hell of a lot of introspection to say, I really got to change this shit. If you unfortunately were dealt that hand and you were around crazy, and crazy is your norm.
Yeah, it really takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of soul searching. I've spent many years figuring it out. One of my brothers is completely, he hasn't figured it out. He goes through these phases where he dives back into therapy, starts to work through it, and then freaks the fuck out and goes, nope, I'm not doing it anymore. And I get it. I respect that because it's scary. Yeah. It's really scary to, you know, to parse through your childhood and go, wow, all of this was messed up, man.
Yeah.
It's scary stuff to do, but the fact that the 17-year-old emailed any of this story is an awareness that most 17-year-olds don't have. So I think we're on the right path for this person, that they know things are messed up.
Having the awareness is the biggest part of the battle. And then, you know, it's one thing to understand and go, yeah, this is really scary. And that's good. But getting through it is a whole other thing, because it takes a lot. It takes a lot to try and do that. And sometimes one just isn't capable of it. And you have to feel bad for people like that to a certain extent. But even though you can feel bad for them that they're operating these ways, it doesn't mean that you have to subject yourself to them. You can, you know, give them grace, forgive and all that, but you have to do what's best for you and separate yourself and boundaries, so you're not affected by what they're unable to be, which would be better for them. It better be better for everybody. But sometimes people are literally, there is, I think, times where they're just incapable of doing anything. So thank you for that story and sharing that with us. If you have a crazy family story, we'd love to hear it. Go to our website and share it with us. It's crazyfampod.com. A little form right there. You just fill it out anonymously and we may share your story in a future episode. Or call us toll-free, 833-CRAY-FAM, 833-272-9326. We'd absolutely love to hear your stories. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. Send me a screenshot of the review. Send it to contest@crazyfampod.com. You'll be entered to win a $500 Amazon gift card that will be given away later on in the year. So check that out. Until next time, for Stacy, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening to My Crazy Family.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
See.
Family.
Crazy.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.